morning, everyone. Now, you seem pretty keen this morning. You were here quite early, which means that we're going to have a very good discussion today on the work of the church. As you have seen in the bulletin, the title of my sermon this morning is I Will Not Let Thee Go Unless Thou Bless Me. Esau and Jacob were born within minutes of each other. They were twins, as you know. They played together as children, but they just weren't close. They were different. Esau was very good with his hands. He was good at hunting. He was good at climbing trees, but Jacob wasn't. I imagine Jacob was good in the house, perhaps helping mother, and somehow I can identify with that situation, because when I grew up back in Portland, Jamaica, there was a cousin who lived in my home. He was only 2 months older than I was. He was my grandfather's favorite, because he was good at doing things with his hand. He could make toys out of wood. He could make cricket balls out of guava wood. You know, he could shoot. Well, perhaps that is not politically correct. You know, here in this country, so better be careful about that. I was going to say that he could shoot birds very easily with a slingshot. But you know, you didn't hear that from me today. He could run up a coconut tree as if he actually lived in that tree. The fellow was good. I've never climbed a coconut tree in my life. I wasn't good at making anything. I never made toys from wood. I've never climbed a coconut tree. As I said, I wasn't good at using the slingshot. I couldn't make bows and arrows. In fact, my grandfather didn't like me very much because I was not good at making anything. And so I was my grandmother's favorite, because I helped around the house, you see. Now, I helped with the cleaning, and I helped with the reading, etc. In fact, I remember a man saying something one day that has lived with me since. My mother and I were coming from the farm, and I was struggling with a bunch of bananas. You know, the thing was pretty heavy for me, and we were passing a shop, and I heard a man say, "You see that boy? That boy is not made for this kind of thing." And you can see how the boy is struggling. And apparently my mother heard it. And my mother never again took me to the field, you know, because I was not even good at carrying bananas. And so it was kind of a similar situation with Jacob and Esau. Esau was so good with his hands, but Jacob really wasn't. And so Esau was favored by his father, and Jacob was favored by his mother. He was mummy's boy. So I would like us to look a little more closely at these two characters this morning. When we examine the life of Esau, we can't help but conclude that he was a good man. In fact, I have to tell you that Esau is one of those Old Testament characters that I admire. He was actually a very good man. He was not overly concerned with material things and position in the society. Remember that he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. His birthright entitled him to a double portion of his father's possessions. His birthright entitled him to being the head of his household after his father had died, but he gave up all of that for a bowl of stew. But perhaps the passage of scripture that provides us with the best index to the kind of person that Esau was is Genesis chapter 33, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to ask you if you have your Bibles to turn to me, because it is one of those great love passages in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 33, verses 1 to 4. It says here, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Jacob, having incurred the fury of his brother, went to live in Haran, as you will remember, the home of his mother. And after spending several years there, the desire to return home was overwhelming. However, he feared the wrath of his brother. How could he face Esau after stealing his blessing, after taking away his birthright? And so on his journey home, Jacob divided his flocks, his household, into several groups, with him being in the last group. You see, the plan was that the heart of Esau would be softened as he saw these different groups of people and animals, and perhaps by the time he got to Jacob, he would not harm him. But each time I read the story about what Esau did, a lump wells up in my throat, because it is one of the great love stories of the Bible. To me, it is in the category of the prodigal son. Now, you would have thought that Esau would seek retribution. You would have thought that Esau would kill him, the first sight of him. But instead, when big brother saw little brother, he ran, hugged him, and wept. Tremendous story. Esau was a good man, a very good man. What a spirit. He was a remarkable man. Now let's look at Jacob. He was shifty, cunning, deceptive. His real character was displayed when his brother came to him hungry, desperately needing food. His brother was hungry to the point of fainting. Esau begged Jacob for some of the stew that he had cooked. But Jacob saw a business opportunity. Yes, I will give you some stew if you give me your birthright. You know, I have discovered that it is not good to do anything that is really important when you're hungry, when you're very hungry. It's not even good to go shopping when you are hungry. I didn't have breakfast on Friday morning, you know. Well, I had breakfast. It was a banana and an apple in the car, as usual. And because we closed the office at 12 o'clock on a Friday, I usually do the shopping. And so I rang my wife and told her that I was going to ask her to do the shopping. Went in, but I was pretty hungry. And I tell you, when I reached the checkout and I saw the total, I was shocked. In fact, I haven't even shown the slip and the receipt to my wife as yet. She would say, "What in the world is this? You think you're feeding enough?" So we had a little foster son at home, and he said on Friday, "Oh, my wife and Uncle Don shops. I don't like it when Uncle Mary shops because she doesn't buy much. But I guess I usually buy a lot because I'm usually hungry when I go to shop." So this Esau was extremely hungry. Asked Jacob for some of his stew, and Jacob said, "Yeah, I'll give you some stew if you give me your birthright. And so poor Esau's response was, in a sense, what good to me will be a birthright without that? So give the thing to me, you can have my birthright. So the deal was done. We also recall how Jacob robbed Esau of his blessing. Not only his birthright, but also his blessing by disguising himself as his brother. And so even when he went to live in Haran, he continued with his trickery. But Laban was a match for him, because Laban was just as deceptive as Jacob was. So, it is extremely difficult to say that Jacob was a good man. The good one was Esau. The bad one was Jacob. And yet, it is Jacob's name that comes down to us as the son of God, as the friend of God, as the one whom God had chosen. So here we have a big conundrum. How is it that Jacob was the friend of God, a man of God, the father of Israel, when he was the bad one? What made the difference between Esau and Jacob? I would like to propose to you this morning four important reasons that made that difference. And the first is found in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. So the first part is what is important here. And Jacob was left alone. Often we face a situation that is beyond us, a situation that is too big for us to handle. And if we are going to face it successfully, we too need to be left alone. Alone with our thoughts, alone with our reflections, alone with God. Jesus himself was often alone, away from his disciples, away from the crowd, away from the mad rush of life. Jacob was left alone. You know, I think we are losing the blessing of aloneness nowadays. If we're going to make a difference in our lives and the lives of others as Christians, we must find time to be alone with God. Perhaps away from the husband, wives, away from the wives, or the wife, husbands, away from the TV, away from the radio, away from the newspaper. It is only then that we are able to reflect on whom we really are, what our spiritual needs are. No doubt, Jacob had a good look at himself that night and saw his deceptive ways, saw his conniving attitude. What he saw was not good. Many of us are afraid to face ourselves, you know. Many of us are afraid to be alone because we don't like what we see when we are alone. And so, when we get in the car, the first thing we do is turn the radio on, listen to the music, or listen to the news, or listen to some talk, because we are afraid of facing ourselves and our own thoughts. We are at home, the television is usually on, and the radio is usually on. But I would like to emphasize this morning, unless we find time for God to be alone, each day, we will not be the Christians that we want to be. The second thing is that Jacob wrestled all night with God. The man knew that he was facing a situation that he could not handle. He looked forward with great foreboding to meeting with his brother. He saw the possibility of death, his death, and that of his family. He was facing meltdown. I'm not sure how the wrestling went. The Bible says that Jacob wrestled with the angel, who was a representative of God all night. I don't know if they were rolling around in the mud or giving each other arm locks and so forth. I just know that, like Jacob, we too need to wrestle with God. Perhaps all of us struggle with a fear, an attitude, a sin that we know that is killing us, killing our spirituality. We appear all saintly when we come to church on Sabbath morning and we smile in all the right places. But deep down in our hearts, we are struggling with our faith, struggling with our relationship with God. Nobody knows the trouble we see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Those troubles are not going to go away by mental discipline or by the use of the will. They are not going to go away by making New Year's resolutions. If they're going to go away, we too will have to wrestle with God. We must wrestle with Him in prayer all night. Now, some folk ask the question, why do we need to pray all night? I've known of churches that would have prayer meeting for an entire night. The question is asked, doesn't God already know our need? Do we have to force Him through prayer to answer our petitions and to meet our needs? No. We don't have to do that to God. He knows our needs. Prayer is not really to change God's mind. It is to bring our mind in harmony with the mind of God. And sometimes we need to spend an entire night doing that. It doesn't mean that we are talking all the time, but we are in an attitude that will allow God to respond to us and to speak to us. And last, have you really wrestled with God about a difficulty that you were facing, about a problem in your own life? If Jacob needed to wrestle with God, we too need to wrestle with Him. The third thing in Jacob's experience that made him different was that God blessed Jacob. I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. It was not just a blessing in words, such as we give. Bless you, brother. It was a blessing that meant that Jacob's prayer was answered. That was the blessing. It was a blessing that not only changed Jacob's name, but also changed his life. What greater blessing can we have than to know that our lives have been changed for the better? What greater blessing can we have than to know that while we were on a course to death and hell, we now have life and are on our way to heaven? What greater blessing can we have than to know that we have been freed from the burden and bondage of sin, and that we now live in the liberty of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? There is no greater blessing. blessed by God. In fact, when Jacob was blessed by God, not only was his name changed, but he also ended up with a limp. You know, if I could be blessed by God the way Jacob was blessed, I wouldn't mind walking with a limp. I wouldn't even mind losing a limb if I know that I have God's blessing in my life. You know, we need to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ and stay there until we know that we have been blessed by Him. That is what real fasting is about. When I was given a copy of Nelson Mandela's book, A Long Walk to Freedom, it was Christmas time and I started reading this book, and I read and read and read, and you know, it's a book of over 1,000 pages. And I was through reading that thing within about 5 days, because I just read, I just so much enjoyed reading that book, I forgot to eat. Sometimes I just read. I was absorbed in this. And in fact, that is an illustration of what true fasting is about. Fasting is not really setting aside a day when we just don't eat. That is not the important bit in fasting. The important thing is that you concentrate so much on God and on His blessing, seeking that blessing, that you forget about food. You forget several of the things that you normally would do. And I'm saying that we need to experience that kind of fast where we take time and throw ourselves at the foot of Jesus Christ. And will not rise until we know that He has blessed us and that our prayer has been answered. Would you like to have that kind of experience? I would. The fourth reason why Jacob was different despite his conniving ways. It's found in verses 30 and 31. Let me read these verses. Genesis chapter 32 says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Jacob saw God face to face. I want to see God face to face too. What a privilege Jacob had. But we need not go to Peniel to see God face to face. It is our privilege to see God face to face each day. We see Him face to face in the life of Jesus. We see Him face to face in prayer. We see Him face to face as we take time to read His words. And when we see God face to face, we cannot be the same again. We cannot be the same again. Ellen White says, "It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ, seeing Him face to face, as it were. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon His great sacrifice for us, Our confidence in him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. That is the face to face. When Jacob saw the face of God and was transformed by his power, not only was his name changed, but his life was also changed. I want my life to be changed. Changed for the better. I recognize that it will not be changed by my just desiring it to be changed. I have to be intentional. I have to take time to seek his face. No doubt, most of us here today, or perhaps all of us, are good people. Good people like Esau. But it's not good enough to be good on our journey to heaven. We need an unforgettable encounter with God by which our lives are transformed, by which we can say that we have seen the face of God and are not the same anymore. An encounter by which God deposits his grace within us. So today I'm pledging you that like Jacob, I will take time to be alone with God. I will take time to wrestle with God. I will take time to seek his blessing each day. And I will take time to look into his face. And I hope that you will join me in that experience. That like Jacob, your life can be transformed by the power of God. And my life can thus be transformed as well. If that is your desire, will you stand with me as well? Precious Father, we thank you for the provisions that you have made for our salvation and for sustaining us in our walk to heaven. Sometimes we don't lay hold of the opportunities that you provide us with. We go on from day to day, going through the motions, perhaps just having short family worship in the morning, and in the evening. But as we have heard today, if we are to experience the transforming power of God in our lives, if we are to experience real revival and real transformation, we must take time to know you, to be alone with you, to wrestle with you, and to be blessed by you. We stand today as a demonstration of our desire to have such an experience. And so we pray that as we leave this place later to go back to our homes, that we will go with the determination that we will be different, that like Jacob, we will take time to seek you and to seek your blessing. We ask that the power of the Holy Spirit will fill us. We ask that your grace will sustain us today and every day until we see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we pray in his name. Amen.